Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Shalom. Shalom. It starts nowhere, in where you feel flat, one line with earth. It starts when you start seeing you, even in you. It moves when your breath becomes alive from dirt. It moves when you form and become from the lowest places you'll ever go to. It starts when you see other than you, removing webs of past that chained you to a rusty anchor. When flushing with watery air the filters that covered your wants and desires, it's imagined when you sleep, because there you are you. What will you feel when you wake up and smell the freshness of coming to life? It flows when you let the shackles off, preparing at the track. Moving from a setback to an outburst of your you, and you sprint, bursting into the highway to everywhere. הריני מקבל על עצמי את מצוות עשה של ואהבת לרעך כמוך. I hereby accept on myself the due commandment and utterance of love your friend, your neighbor, your gardener, in the same way that you express love to yourself. Welcome to Abracadabra, create what you speak. I'm Ilan Azulay, and this is Liron Ben Shimon, When We Lose the Words.
השמש לא הגיעה, הלילה מזדקן. אומרים שהשתיקה תופיע כשלא יהיה על מה לדבר. הרחוב הצר נעלם ככל שהתרבו הצעדים, ואיתו עבד הגשם, עבדה רוח בפנים.
כבר עבדנו בדרכים, אולי קצת נשתקע.
Shalom, welcome. Welcome, it is Sunday. Wonderful to have you here. And with me is a lovely co-host, Or Mashiach.
Hello.
Hello.
That's a first for a long time that somebody calls me by my full name.
Really?
I kind of like it.
Right?
Yeah, I kind of like it. Usually people go, I go by Or Mash.
Or Mash. Masking your name.
I'm masking.
You're masking your name. You're masking your name. And so we're here on Abracadabra, create what you speak, because really the power of words, the power of our, of the vibration that that comes with the words, and those are the intentions, and the words themselves really create reality. Mm-hmm. And for this way or that way. And so, yeah.
My dad used to tell me all the time, he said, thought creates reality.
Well,
thought creates words. And the thoughts
are coming. By the way, did you stop to think if the thoughts are yours?
Not all of them.
No.
Some of them are yours, and some of them are like planted, like, oh, you pick up.
Yeah, right,
From somewhere, I don't even know where.
They're coming down, they're coming down.
And you pick them up.
And you pick them up, depends on where you are in your place, mm-hmm, in life. You pick all this, it's like a conveying belt, you know?
Yeah.
Runs with all the thoughts hanging like keys, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And they're running, and then you're in this space, and then you attract those thoughts, depends on where.
Yeah.
So you create knowledge, kind of. You kind of gather knowledge.
Right? Yeah.
Knowledge is not only knowing a book or something, or knowing a certain topic. It's also experiences that we've experienced. So you have knowledge about something because of the experience that you went through.
Yeah, so like I have knowledge when Americans say "see you later," they have no intentions of ever seeing you. Yeah, that's from a few experiences I had. You know, in Israel, they go "when." You know, here it took me a while to understand.
What do you mean "when"? No, I didn't live
in Israel. When somebody says to you, "I'll see you later,"
you're you say when? Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
When? But here, exactly. When I said "when," it was like people looked at me like I'm insane.
Or like, hey, let's do it again.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. When?
they're like, oh, I didn't mean it. I didn't.
Yeah, well, so, that's right.
So that's a little example for that experiences. So I've gathered that knowledge, and I'm here to share it with you guys. If you're ever in LA, don't believe anything that you hear, especially when LA people tell you, "I'll see you later. It's a plan. It's a date. We'll make a plan." Nothing of these words have any intention.
Well, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know. This is like we generalize.
Right.
You know, because much of it, really, if not all of it, is based on your environment.
That's true.
Right? Based on your environment.
Come on, LA people are very flaky.
Maybe for them. I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
No, listen. Well,
and for the most part, maybe it's like that. I don't know about the most part. How many people do you know?
I'm talking about specifically the flakiness of LA. I'm not talking about general people. And I was just making a joke anyway. So.
No. I got that joke. Okay. I got the whole
thing. But it was true, because I remember when I came from Israel, what we say is what's going to happen.
That's right.
But it's like a cultural different. And here it's more of just like a polite gesture saying, okay, see you later.
It's like a gesture, saying goodbye. People see you and say, hey, how you doing?
They don't really want to know. I had a girl once say, how am I doing? I was like, actually, I didn't sleep very well. My back a little bit hurts. And she's like, she looked at me like I was crazy. I was like, I didn't really want to know all this. She was a Trader Joe's, like at the checkout.
Oh, no,
she's like, dude, I work at Trader Joe's. I have to say this.
Well, you know, it is a cultural thing.
Yeah.
It is a cultural thing. Yeah. You know, there are sayings like in Israel. There are sayings in Israel that definitely will not work here. You know.
Yeah. Like, what are you upside down?
Like chavlaz ala bazlaz.
Oh my God. What are you stolen?
Yeah. No. Pity on the time.
Oh my God. Pity on the time.
Pity on
all
the
these
time.
Things. Yeah. But what, I'm saying usually, know? But other than that, words are very important.
Words are powerful and this is a place for you, for you who are listening, watching. Thank you for being here, because this is a place for you how to reclaim your power. And reclaiming your power is understanding first that everything that is here is being held by spiritual reason and context. Everything physical. So if we look at anything that we are going through, any experience, if we understand that there is a spiritual reasoning and spiritual source for everything that is happening in the physical, then we look at things from the umbrella stand, from the umbrella view, from the it's like the overview, the bird's eye view, understanding that what will be already happened. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's so when we come to for example, with relationships, we're talking downstairs, you know. We can talk about relationships with parents and but in relationships when between two people, I mean, there are many options, you know. Right. There is him, her, him, her, her.
There's a relationship with yourself.
They, and then there is the relationship with yourself.
Which is the hardest one, if you ask me. It's the most complex one.
Well, if you ask me too.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. What do you think? I mean, this takes a lot of process, a lot of challenges, and how do I react versus respond, or respond versus react, and where does that reaction or response comes from?
Yeah.
Certain understanding.
I told my girlfriends once, she was feeling down. She told me, "No, I'm depressed and this and that." I was like, "Well, what I'm hearing, like I'm keep being down on myself and I knock myself down and all these things." And I was like, "Well, what is the type of sentences that you say?" And she goes like, "Well, that I'm not good enough, that this and that." And that's a relationship with yourself.
That's right.
And I told her, "You know what you could do? You could instead of escaping it, try to understand it. Say, okay, there's a certain time that I have this lady. Mm-hmm. I call it the Jewish voice, the Jewish mother's voice, that comes to you and says, 'You're not enough. What have you done with your life? You know, you're too old. You're 32. You're alone. You don't have a husband.' Like, whatever it is that voice tells you. It doesn't have to be Jewish, but I'm Jewish, so."
Well, you know, it's global.
It's like a guilty voice.
It's a guilt voice, yeah.
And I was like, just instead of running from it, understand it and have a relationship with it, and said, "Well, actually, this is BS. You're just here to bring me down. What do you want? What do I need to do for you to stop complaining?" And in that sense, it's like you're giving it an entity in a way. It's like I treat those voices like I would treat like an annoying girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
That I would say, "Okay, all right, what do you want? I want a massage. I want you to take me out on an adventure. Well, I want you to take that class, whatever."
You're right. And this is an important part when we're working with ourselves, and especially we're working with others, is the integration. For many years, you know, you learn to suppress that voice.
Mm-hmm.
"I don't want to hear that. Oh, let me do something else so I don't think of you. Or let me divert the way that, just so I don't look at you, that I don't see you, you know."
Yeah.
And the point is we've been, since we know ourselves and thousands, even isolation.
Right.
And now this is the connection time, you know, and this is integration time. And how do we integrate all these places? Because all these are us. All these places are us, you know.
And we don't know what to do with them. We're like, "Oh my God."
Because we haven't practiced that muscle.
Right, exactly.
We haven't practiced that muscle. We haven't practiced that perception. And we're using this knowledge about where we were and what we were told to think and how to think. And this is kind of a knowledge, right?
Yeah.
And we're still using it to limit us.
Yeah.
To limit us, you know. And You know, when people tell me, dude, you're out of your mind, I say, thank you. It takes a lifetime.
It does. Because we hear, also, it has to do with words. We hear all these words when we're young. This is what you can do. This is what you can't do. We have all these definitions. So we can gain control, really. Right?
So, yeah. And we are conditioned. We're conditioned to be in that space.
Yeah. But sometimes, you gotta break through those boundaries, because these boundaries were set to you by people when you were younger that wanted some sort of feeling of control, and like it comes from fear, really.
Everything comes from fear of them recognizing. That's also the oppression of women,
right?
Because it's the fear of what woman or femininity is, and what in a sense it's on the table, the power, the divine power that can flourish out of
exactly. Well, every big force is people always try to control it somehow. I mean, like women all throughout history, because women are so powerful.
Yeah, and then it can go to the head too.
What?
It can go to the head.
Everything, to any human. To any human.
That's why I think the checks and balances are so important for us. Like there is in the Constitution, you know, the checks and balances and the government, blah, blah, blah. But if we take it down to ourselves, that's the reflection time when we are reflecting.
Yeah.
When we are at the end of the day or
thinking about stuff. That's what I'm saying. I told them, for listen, so every time these voices come, these words come, instead of, like you say, instead of kind of running away from them and try to shut them down, say, oh, this is bad thoughts. You can hold on a second and say, like, wait, what are they saying? What are these words? Why are this happening? And you can also detect a pattern. These voices usually come to me at this and this point. This is what they say. This is how they say it. And this is why it makes me feel. And so when you identify a pattern, you are above it in a way, because you can see, oh, okay, I got it. That's what's going on.
That is exactly what it is. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. This is exactly what it is to map your experiences, to see why, what place you were in when you made a certain choice. When we are looking at beginning a relationship, right?
Yeah.
New people, you know, many times, maybe it happened to you. How many times it happened where you bring your own assumptions from an old relationship and you assume that this new person is going to respond in the same way?
The same way.
So you are already, before you even said it, you are behaving in a way that you behaved in the other relationship.
Yeah. Do you think it's conditioning or it's just memories?
Well, it's triggers. So for example, you know, it's triggers. Somebody, you come into a new relationship and they say something to you that triggers.
Yeah.
That triggers, like the person says, oh, you and me under the stars looking at the moon. Something like that can...
I mean, you remember that your ex-boyfriend, that asshole that broke up with you when you were under the moon. You're like, what did you just say to me?
Well, the thing is, that's maybe a little flat example.
Of course.
But there are things that will trigger.
That would trigger you. Yeah.
That takes you to a place of fear.
That's true.
That takes you to a place that is not resolved.
To a loop. Sometimes it gets you in a loop.
It triggers you, right? Yeah. And if it triggers you to a place where you are feeling either defensive or shaken from that, that means that there is something that is not healed there. There is something that is not healed with you, inside.
So it's on us to fix, not on them to say.
But you see, the person who said what they said, you know, I am with you for life, for example. I mean, that's a pretty profound thing.
What if what they said is negative, though?
No. But let's, before we go to that place, right. That's on them, right? But what they say because, let's say, he said or she said, because this is where they are.
Yeah.
They have no access to your history.
That's right.
They have no access to your history. So what they say is who they are at that moment that they say what they say. Or, for example, somebody has a habit of being a certain way and the other person doesn't like it. The person who is habiting is doing it because this is who they are.
Yeah.
That triggers something on the other circle in you that is relating to your own history, but it has nothing to do with you. I'm not talking about somebody is doing something negative to you on purpose, because otherwise, if you're there, you're either a masochist or you don't see that, or you're still not in a healed place, so you accept this masochism, right?
Yeah.
But, and so the person said something from their circle, right? The Venn diagram, the two circles that come together, and we create this new Pisces in the middle, right? This new...
Yeah.
Right. So this is, we bring our own lives, come together. We can either our story overcome the other person's story, the other person can overcome our story, or we can bring our own selves and co-create.
Yeah.
Co-create something. So looking at you like this. So that triggered something in you. And that triggered something in you that triggered a whole complete different reaction from you based on where you came from.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with that person. And now suddenly you're starting to talk parallel. You're not talking with one another. You're talking here and here. You're hearing here and he's talking here. And so now you're branching out to worlds that didn't exist yet.
Mm-hmm.
And may exist because there is no awareness that this is what may be happening.
Yeah.
You know, so we're bringing knowledge of something, and we are kind of putting it on the person. Or if we have a need, we have a certain need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard this. It's like what I heard, and I really like that term, fish love.
What is that?
Fish love. You know, we know that fishermen. By the way, I want to give the number here. I didn't give the number here. If people want to ask something. 323-203-0815. It's a Skype number, so you can call directly from there. 323-203-0815. And Skype, it's LA Talk Radio. I'll put this window here just in case somebody is awake. So there is, so we know that that fishermen don't really love fish.
Really?
Well, yeah, because otherwise they wouldn't kill the fish and
take
them out of the water.
I mean, they love to eat them.
They love what the fish makes them feel.
Exactly.
Right?
Okay.
They love what they make fish feel, right?
Yeah.
So many times when you meet somebody and I ask you, why do you love this guy? It's like, oh, he makes me feel so needed, so important. He sees me, he sees my talents, makes me feel good. I love cuddling with him, all this stuff. So you love what that person makes you feel. You don't really see the other person. So you find many sentences, many in situations like this that people give to the other, to the new one, to the new person they've met, because I love them, so I give them.
Mm-hmm.
But really, the other way is correct. I love them because I give them.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to practice on giving so we can be vested in the other person and then see ourselves through that person. And then we are really in a place of love. Ahava, right? If we take the word ahava, aleph, ani, hava, I noten, I give, right? So many times when in the beginning you say, I love you, is not to undermine the feeling that you feel. But really the feeling that is coming from this, for the most part, from this, this whatever attracted you in that person that represents something that is familiar to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we're always I don't remember this research, but I remember, I have to look at it, but that, never mind. So I forgot the whole thing. So the place that we're at when we are saying, oh, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Really? What in that person do you love? Are you interested in what that person is feeling? Are you going through the wants and desires of what that person feels? Do you want for the other person the best because you want it or because it makes you feel the person is giving you all these good feelings? And so it's kind of like, you know, it's a never-ending discovery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when we are in this place, so that's the fish love. When we are many times in the beginning and we say, but it's really because how does this person makes me feel?
Yeah.
You know, he comes, he sees me, he's here, and all this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do
actually do. I love the way he makes me feel. I get it. Yeah, it's... I feel like most relationships are like that today. You look for somebody that make you feel good. But if you don't come to a relationship from a point that you feel good, it might be a problem.
Well, what is a point that you feel good? Understanding... I mean, and there are many ways. I mean, we can't really cap it. but, you know, we're going at a different angle. At a place where you recognize yourself, right, is integrating all your parts of you, being in a place that, like the song of Mati Kaspi, Ahava sheli eina tluya bedavar, my love is independent of everything that is physical, a davar, right? So the intention there is, so your intention to yourself, and you see yourself, you call your name, you know, your full name.
Yeah.
That's interesting with the name. You want to talk about that?
We can. Yeah, okay. That's fine.
I'm just being nice. I was going to talk about it anyway. So. But Or, the name of Or in Hebrew is three letters, which means light. It was the first sentence that God said when he came into the room. Vayhi Or. He said, let it be light.
I remember one time I was at school and it was like Bible class or whatever. And I was talking or something like that. So my punishment was to look for all the mentions of my name.
Wow.
In the Bible. It was such a harsh thing to do to me. It was because it would have taken hours and days.
So as a child when you received that assignment, did you see it as punishment? I mean, did you know it, the name?
I know it's gonna be a whole thing. I knew there's so many mentions of my name in the Bible. So I was like,
but
oh
as
my
a kid,
God,
you already
that's not
knew
even
that.
Fair.
As a kid, you already knew the meanings and the depths of your name, Ming.
I didn't have to know the meanings. I just have to count how many times my name is in the Bible. And I thought that was so unfair. Because God say, Vayehi Or, let it be light. That my name in Hebrew means light. That's the first, in the first sentence. And then I didn't finish the chore, obviously. It was only a 45-minute class.
And there weren't computers where you could do search how many times it chose.
No, there wasn't. I don't know why I told you this. What did I say this? Oh, because he said Vayehi Or. Right.
Yeah, God said Vayehi Or. So Or is an example that many times I give as an example that the entire creation is encoded in the Hebrew language.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have three letters, Aleph, Vav, Resh, and you take the dot from the Vav and you take it down, right? It becomes Avil,
mm-hmm.
right? And you have the two elements that are so essential for our existence, light and air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and so it's not just what is encoded as far as letters, but the meanings and the meanings that serve as points in the grand scheme of things.
Right.
So now her last name is Mashiach, which is in every language, doesn't matter how you say it, but it's Messiah. Right?
Yeah, I'm not trying to freak people out. That's why I change it. I was like, I don't want, because my full name translates to the light of the Messiah.
Let me ask you this. When you say the light of the Messiah, does it freak you out?
I feel like it's a lot of response. Like, it's a lot to live up to. You know? It's like, I had this friend who's like, oh my God, my parents call me Victory and I always lose. I was like, well, How about if they called you the light of the Messiah and you live in a studio apartment in Hollywood and you're telling jokes for a living?
But you know what? I have to tell you. I mean, with living studio and apartment and stuff like this, you have great energy.
Oh, thank you.
You have really great, really soothing, really nice energy and uplifting energy, you know? So it doesn't matter where you live.
Right. No, I was saying like you know, the Messiah, what does he do? He's a comedian.
That's the best. That's a script. The Messiah is a comedian.
Yeah, the Messiah is a comedian.
Yeah.
This Uber driver told me once, he was really creepy. Not creepy, he was just weird. But in one of the things that he said that I need to look, maybe you know if it's true or not. He said that you get rewarded for mitzvahs that you do. Mm-hmm. And making people laugh, it's seven times more of the mitzvah. Is that even, because that guy was talking a lot of weird, like there was stuff that I was like, that's not true. I knew. I was like, whatever you say right now, not true. But this sentence, I wasn't sure about.
Well, I don't know exactly in these words, right. Seven times make them laugh, but seven has a very significant number, the numbers also, but right. Seven especially has, because seven is a cycle. Mm-hmm. Seven has to do with the cycle, cycle of the world, cycle of, you know, we recycle our cells every 7 years, you know.
How many chakras
days.
Are there? Seven?
Well, there are more than seven chakras, but the main one that we're talking about,
eight?
The one that everyone is talking about is seven.
Seven, yeah. Okay.
And they correspond to the musical scales.
But the
commandment of being in joy. And so you are an instrument. Everybody has a gift, and your gift is probably in that. And it could be that leads to something else.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And this aspect is there. Like I started with music and then photography and then film and then this and here, and I'm here today, and I feel that everything is serving, and sound and everything is serving to a greater cause.
Right.
And this is... You know, where you are now is really just, you're perfectly exactly where you have to be. Because you
think so? I give myself so much shit.
Yeah, no, you...
Like, you're not doing enough. I feel like
you are exactly where you have to be.
I had a conversation and with a friend of mine last night. We went to this show. And I feel like if we had the conversation, many other people have the conversation of like, again, these words that how you have in your brain of you're not doing enough. But here we are, and you're telling me, actually, you're exactly where you need to be.
You are exactly where you need to be, you know. And those are the times when we are going through these places that are uncomfortable. It's like we are inside a balloon, stretching the edges of the balloon, you know. So it's like we're trying to break out of this membrane of us, right? And it's hard because we're shifting. And we're still trying to use the old tools in this new understanding, in this new realization, and it doesn't work. So we are creating a new language with new tools to do this work. Think about this. You are getting promoted for a new job.
Right.
Right? You get a new office, you get a new beamer, you get everything new, you get a new office to do a new job that you've never done yet.
Yeah.
Right, so it's kind of you get paid to do a job that you haven't done yet, but you have all the tools, the tools that you've acquired to create this new job,
right?
And this is what you have, all that you've done, all that you've been, all these experiences that you're going through, all these pushing through the edges is really a time of the growth.
Yeah.
The time of growth that you are creating new language. But these are old tools. So these are not the essence anymore. These are here for you to combine, litzol, to take from here, to take from here, what you've got from here, what you've got from here, what you've got from here, what realization you had from this relationship, and how you're looking at that relationship with the eyes of today. Mm-hmm. And when we look at something that you've done, with the eyes of today, many times we judge ourselves because we have this extra knowledge from that event until today, and we are applying this knowledge to judge ourselves on a time that we didn't have this knowledge yet. Mm-hmm. So it is good for us, if we're looking at that time, to go back to try and be the eyes of then, to see where you were then, how you felt then, and you felt you're right, you felt that this is, has to be this way, and you talk to yourself this way, and you talk to others in the way that you did. Mm-hmm. But this is where you were. So it's not to feel pity for yourself, but to understand that this is where you were. Okay, you grew.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, you grew.
So what do you think? I should just be an Om Mashiach all the time?
Om Mashiach, that's your name.
Does it matter?
Yes, yes. You know, it's when first of all, your the lineage is quite impressive. But the your name, you have a reason that you are here, exactly as you are. You chose to come here. Mm-hmm. You chose this time.
I thought it was a chosen one.
You chose one. You chose it because your soul is. You're here again, obviously.
Yeah.
So you didn't get it the last time. Just like I'm here, I didn't get it last time.
Yeah. You know?
But I feel that it's. I feel that we come here, and sometimes I see that we come here, not necessarily all the time because of the same thing, but because the next thing. It's like an accumulative process.
Yeah.
It's like we were at that time, we accumulated what we accumulated, now we come with that knowledge and experience embedded in us to try and go to the next place, to the next level.
And you're saying the name matters.
The name matters. You know that we get, that there is a guidance as the parent is giving the name to the child.
Mm-hmm.
Like many times somebody thinks of a name, but they don't, the last minute they change the name of the child. It's like there is a guidance, there is a divine guidance for that child to have a certain name, because you have certain tools. You have certain tools. Interesting, I didn't do the gematria of your name. What's the gematria of your name?
One and six, that's seven.
Well, hold on.
I don't know what resh is.
Resh is 200.
207.
Oh, wait. Oh.
207.
So 207 is your first name, right?
Yeah.
Mashiach is 40. M, Shin is 300. Albaim, 340. 10 is 50, 350. And Taf is 400, 750. Plus 207?
Mm-hmm.
957. 957, 16, 521, 3. The number is 3. Interesting.
3 is not a special number.
3 is a very unique number.
Really?
What are you talking about? Every number is a unique number.
Yeah, well, obviously.
But 3 is like the triangle, especially in relationships.
Mm.
It's you, your partner, and God, right? It's and what it is, it what it is in your life.
Yeah.
It is not the we got the dogmatic.
Yeah.
Thing. It is what it is in your life. How are you looking at the things we're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
How you're looking at yourself, the lay of the land, relationship to others. And so it's all wonderful.
So, so you're saying the words in your name matters, the words you bring on a new relationship matters, like the old words you bring to the new relationship.
Look. Listen, we use words all the time, right? I mean, you can't say, okay, I'm not going to use the words.
Not the words, but I'm just talking about the thought. Words are thoughts, our
how
beliefs.
How we say things.
Yeah.
How do you say
beliefs,
things?
You know?
So first we perceive something. And then once we perceive it, we believe it. The perception depends on where we are at.
Mm-hmm.
So you see somebody that has a certain look. And I'm not saying that you are, you judge by the looks, but let's say that you, or let's say I see somebody, right?
Right.
And I think of that person, I perceive that person to be this. So now if I don't talk to that person and I just see moving his hands in certain ways, I start believing that this person is that.
Right.
You know?
And we also do that to control. It's out of fear in a way. We're trying to control. That's why we name all this places. We name our countries, we name this is this, we are in Italy right now. It's a form of control. You want to know what's what. Even when you see a person, we have, I read somewhere that we immediately, well, the first judgment we make is, can I trust him or not?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
When you meet a new person, mm-hmm. what you first trying to establish is, can I trust this person or not? They have a similar thing in stand-up comedy, where you see a new comedian on stage, the first thing the audience want to know is, can I trust you to be funny, to be professional? So a comedian has like 20 seconds, mm-hmm. maybe, mm-hmm. to make that audience laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So I read somewhere in psychology that you also have in the first minute or whatever that you meet a new person, mm-hmm. they already have a set of perception. And it's a form of control, because we want to say, oh, they're a hippie. He's a hippie. Oh, he's a...
Yeah, control in the sense of, it's not controlling somebody
not
else.
Not controlling it's actually, them. It's actually it's for you.
It's actually protect. It's like the fear of,
yeah, of the unknown. Of you don't exactly. want to not control. Exactly. And it goes back to the words you were told as a child.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm shutting up now.
No. No, it's controlling.
I thought
I'm
talking too much.
No. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Thing. So yeah. So maybe because we use words in terms of control, but we also use words you say in terms of what can be used different ways. It's about words as a form of creation and intention.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because I'm like, what's behind the words?
Well, that's true. What is behind the words? There is a teaching from the sages that says, and I think it's Maimonides, said that sometimes when you correct a child, your child,
mm-hmm.
you have to show the child that you are upset. But in your heart, you're happy because you love your child.
He's so cute. Right? He's so sweet.
Yeah, but you have to show him that you're...
Yeah.
And the same thing sometimes in at work. It's like, so it is, you have to create this barrier that outside you may appear stern and to your employees, because you need to have that boundary, but inside you're not really in that space,
right?
You're not one to one with that expression, mm-hmm. you know. So the control. How did I talk about that? I don't know why I talked about that, but
we were talking about what's behind the words.
The words, exactly. Yeah.
There could be all kinds of things. It could be, right. What's the intention behind it? So is it an intention for control? Is it an intention to create? Is it?
So when you are with somebody or in a relationship, you know, many times we feel comfortabler, more comfortabler, more comfortable, not putting an effort to keep ourselves in check with those who are closer to us. So we talk to people that we don't know if we are unaware, in a more courteous way, respectful way, but sometimes at home, or, you know, we're conditioned, or there is more the ease of being more lax with the person that is in front of us. And especially if there is a long time relationship, you know, many times things are getting. So it is really the work that we do in that, to stay in that place of watching how we're saying, what we're saying, understanding the language of the other person.
Yeah.
It's not only saying the words, but it's understanding the lay of the land.
Yeah.
Who am I with? Who are we with? What does that person need? What does that person need to hear this moment?
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, words are, I have to tell you something about talking about words. I came back from Israel this week and I was going to talk about this, but my dad thing all the time comes up, you know. I'm trying to say something else, a different experience,
yeah.
you know, but
yeah.
the whole situation with my father is like, is kind of,
yeah, well, it's understandable,
creating some kind of a movement that it's really, I didn't think that I'll be in that movement,
mm-hmm.
as much.
Yeah.
So So there was so we're sitting with somebody at an old Jaffa in the flea market area.
I love that. Yeah. Place.
And we were sitting and having a drink and we had a discussion, and I had a question really that I needed to answer, and I had this internal question where everything I've felt it, everything is 50-50 now.
Right.
50%, 50%, right? From all, it's like playing chess with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you're always, it's like.
Yeah.
Right?
Gotcha.
And so I'm like.
It's interesting.
So we walk around the corner. Work around the corner, and there is a lady that she has a booth. It's her first day on that mark, and she has a booth, and she is a jeweler. She's an artist creating jewelry, and she's creating Kabbalistic jewelry. And the name of her store or whatever is Abracadabra. I create what I say.
Really?
Yes. And so we kind of got connected. I felt the energy, and we kind of got connected. And then I interviewed her. So I will have a recorded interview for radio, Facebook Live sometime on coming up. But it was really interesting, and I was drawn to a certain piece of jewelry that had the symbol of the angel of Uriel, mm-hmm. and why showing you the light. And many of the things that were said there were really just kind of an example of an answer that I was looking for.
Right? Really?
An encouragement. It's more, so we get signs. We get signs all the time. When we have the intention, when we are listening and we are connected, we get signs. And the reason we get signs, and we get signs in this materialistic existence, because mm-hmm. this is what we are communicating with. This is the language we understand. So you'll hear a dog bark right after we talk, or we say something and you say something, boom, a text comes in. So there are a lot of things that, or people, you meet people. I suddenly met this woman and we had this conversation that really touched for me internally, without expressing it, all these issues that I was mm-hmm. Asking for guidance. And I was like, well, thank you, that was fast.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's so it was really interesting. I just wanted to talking about words.
Yeah.
And saying the words, when you have an intention and you feel inside when you are ready, when you are ready to receive, mm-hmm. not from a place of a need, because when we're in a place of a need, the need actually becomes us. It's like I can't do this because I can't pay this. I can't do this because I can't. We're all the time thinking through that pinhole, and so say that I'm ready to receive all the abundance that is here for me, and I know that I'm willing to go to doing the work, and to say yes, I'm ready to receive that.
Yes, I'm ready.
Amen.
Amen. Mukhana.
Amen. Mukhana. So you're ready. And we are ready because we are at the end of today.
Oh,
it's so fun having you.
Yeah. Thank you. I had a great time.
So we're having this, we're going to meet every Sunday.
Which is awesome.
Which is great.
I'm already excited.
I've been excited already. So so O Mashiach and Ilan Azulay, we're here. And you are going to be here we're going to be here every Sunday. 12 p.m.
Tune in, guys.
Tune in. And Be'emtza HaChaim, again, Liron Ben Shimon, great musician. I met with her, went great show. Mm-hmm. I interviewed with her for another radio program, so you'll have an interview mm-hmm. with her. Great music. And so, there you go.
Let's play it again.
No, it's a different one.
Okay, different one.
Different one.
Of course. The same singer.
Same singer.
There Liron Ben Shimon,
Be'emtza HaChaim. Later.
אמרת שעוד מעט החג מגיע, אבל אין לך בשבילי מתנה. את לא תסתכלי עליי כשאכנס בדלת, לא תאספי את הדמעות מהרצפה בין המיצרים ובין כדי החרס אישה שמדברת אל עצמה את לא תחבקי עכשיו את זה הילד הקירות יהיו לך נחמה אולי זה לא מגיע לך באמצע החיים אבל השמש שוב תבוא ללטף את התריסים את לא לבד במלחמה הזאת שלך כל העולם בוכה על ילד שעבר אמרת שעוד מעט החג מגיע אבל אין לך בשבילי מתנה